The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent, for they had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus says, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him." But the apostles didn't understand what he meant, and they didn't want to ask him any more questions about it either. Here's a question for you here this morning. Why didn't the apostles understand what he meant? What's not to understand? The Son of Man is going to be handed over to men and to be killed. What's not to understand? Why didn't they understand? What I want to propose to you as the answer this morning is that they didn't understand because they didn't want to understand. It's hard for us to understand just how incomprehensible to the early Jewish mind was the idea of a suffering Messiah. The Messiah was supposed to be a conquering general who would enter the capital city, take his glorious throne, and begin his eternal reign. He wasn't supposed to be somebody who would die at the hands of his enemies. To understand their bewilderment, it helps us to think for a moment about how we respond whenever a cross comes into our lives. How do you respond? Whenever there's a tragedy or a sudden death or some kind of crime or massive injustice, and then somebody says to you, even suggests to you, that God might have something to do with this, that God might have a hand to play, don't you revulse from the very idea, from the most visceral revulsion? "This could never be part of God's plan," you say to yourself. That's how they felt when they heard about a suffering Messiah. No wonder they didn't want to ask him any more questions about it. They didn't want to know any more about it. God's honest truth, neither do we. It's why it's so hard to get people to do penance. It's why our moral teachings, especially on things like, you know, contraception and things like that, are so controversial and so upsetting to people. It's why we have to practically beg people to become priests and nuns. There's only one way to understand, and it's this. The only way to understand is to learn to know the difference between suffering and sacrifice. The mission of the Messiah was not just suffering. It was sacrifice. And the difference is love. Suffering is soul-crushing. Suffering is meaningless. But sacrifice, done in love. Like the old rite of marriage says, all suffering is upsetting and difficult. Only love can make it easy. And perfect love can make it a joy. That's why. When you have a cross in your life, and a cross comes into every single life, one of the most important things we can do in our prayer is to beg God for the grace to see it the way he sees it. Personally, it helps me if I think about the shortness of life. Every year goes faster and faster and faster, and we labor under this illusion that somehow this life is supposed to be my ultimate fulfillment, and it's not. I hope you already know that. But God does call us to an ultimate fulfillment in heaven, but we're not ready, are we? He's trying to help get us ready. That's a really great way, at least in my experience, to try to learn to see it the way God sees it. It helps to pray before a crucifix. To look up at your Lord and say, that's what love looks like this side of heaven. Jesus chose it. May I choose it as well. And you'll begin to see a change in your life. You'll begin to find that you follow Christ less and less out of duty or cold, stoic obligation, but more and more and more out of generosity and genuine love. Only one tiny little word of advice, if I could give you one little word of advice. Be patient with yourself. It takes a long, long time for a human mind to begin to see things the way God sees them. Be patient with yourself. Jesus is very patient with you. You've heard it said that God is never outdone in generosity. It's true. God pays really well, but he does ask of his servants sacrifice in love. The saints knew it. The apostles would learn it. May you and I learn it as well. Amen.